The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Into our 4 o'clock hour, which is all brought to us by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at spfs.com. Charles has a college football today to share with everybody in about 5 minutes. What can we look forward to?
The intrigue of an untested quarterback has distracted me from a very real option for one SEC coach.
Would you like to ask your dumb question, or should I read some...
Did not say it was a dumb question. It was mislabeled in the show sheet. I have a question that I was looking for some friends for help.
Should we have that, or your friend and mine, Antonio Brown, has gone to Twitter to post something that might be as dumb as your question?
My question isn't dumb.
I didn't say it was. I'm just saying might be. What would you like? Your choice. Dealer's choice.
Tell your story.
Okay. It's not a story. Antonio Brown, 22 minutes ago on Twitter, and he's got to have been hacked here, right? This has got to be hacked. He wrote... My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at the UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jets stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for you all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks. Chuck, your thoughts.
Jesus, way better at Shea. Jesus at Red Rocks, overrated.
He got hacked, right?
Had to have.
Like, that's not...
Or not.
Something
that... Or not.
My biggest regret is that I'll never get to watch me play. Right? This is a hack job. This can't be. He didn't take the time to put all that on paper. Till the day he dies, he's going to be AB.
Happy 38th birthday.
That's how he signed it, by the way, to AB on his biggest regret.
And I hear it's your second anniversary.
Okay. Here, look at it. Sincerely, AB. What a guy. All right, from that dumbness to Chuck's dumbness.
This is not dumb.
I don't mean
it's
that.
Just a question.
I didn't want to frame it
okay,
that way.
Did you watch the broadcast last night?
Which one?
The Braves.
Yeah, of course. I'm a Braves fan.
Might have occurred to you when I heard some volleying language back and forth. I'm serious about this, and I want you to think about this. At what height does a fence become a wall? Is that it? Is it height? Is it construction, the materials? Yeah. Can you see through it? Because even in the same stadium last night, you hit it over this thing in right. You hit it over the fence. Mm-hmm. You hit it over this thing in left. You hit it over the wall. The hell? How can that be?
So I will, it's for reference on this. This is a great question.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful question. I distinctly remember one of the most famous lines from Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that fence. Wasn't that the line?
Okay, you're not being serious in your phrase.
No, yeah, I am. It's a great question. It's one I
asked. It's a
great question.
Is it a height thing?
In my backyard, we have a wall all around the backyard that keeps the grass. You know, it's three sides. It's a wall. Oh, wait, no, it's a fence. I don't know, Chuck, you stumped me on this one. I
thought for a second that you had actually considered what I was asking and realized that it's a legitimate query.
I think we have to build the fence. We have to build a fence. No, it's a great question. It is. I
will you think about this seriously for a second? Why is it? Why?
So going by Webster's dictionary.
Because in right field, it's the fence.
In right field, it should be a wall because a wall is constructed using masonry.
Happy?
There's no bricks on the Green Monster.
Then that's a fence.
In addition to the structural element, they include insulation and finishing elements or surfaces, such as cladding panels.
What?
Cladding.
So let me ask you a question.
Okay, so there's a wall in Wrigley. There's a fence in left field in Fenway.
So you live in a house.
I do. Apparently it's made up of a bunch of walls.
When you describe it, do you say, will you come paint my fences?
I don't think so.
So I'll play this out. You and I just both used the great folks at the Atlanta Painting Company to paint our home, and I don't remember on the call saying we'd like that repose gray on the fence inside the living room.
But it's, again,
it was the walls in the living room.
It just occurred to me.
I did it.
It wasn't a dumb question. I don't want to be attacked.
I'm not attacked. I think it's a great question. I think you did.
You never thought of it. That's why you're a little stumped. In fact, that is exactly what's going on right now.
Could be.
You're feeling a little defensive, a little threatened because you're like, wait a minute, Chuck asked a question and I got nothing.
Yeah, you might be right. I could be out of my element on this one. I hadn't thought about
all
it.
All night long. In the first inning, it's a fence. Next inning, it's a wall. Then it's a wall. Then it's a fence.
If we did polls, I would ask you dumber, AB's post or Chuck's question. I'm not saying both are dumb or either's dumb.
A lot of people define a fence as immaterial, as a wall as material.
There you go. You happy?
I'm like Castellanos then. If it's a dumb question, why can't you answer it?
There's a drive to deep left field.
Does anybody out there in Radio Land know, can help Chuck out? Because I don't think you're not taking Dan or BJ or Hoyt at their word on the difference in the fence and the wall.
I just want to know.
Is their explanation not?
No.
Not good enough.
How does material not make sense to you? I don't get that. If it's brick, it's a wall.
I think it has to be a height sort of thing because nobody ever calls it over the wall in center in Wrigley. That's a fence.
No. Have you been to Wrigley? That's a wall.
Because it's brick, but I think it's a height thing. It has to be.
So what do you think the height?
Like the Great Fence of China? I mean, that wouldn't have... But that's built invaders.
That's built out of brick, right. So therefore it's a wall.
So let me ask
you. Technically stone.
What is the...
Shut up.
Jesus. What is the height you think, Chuck, as we play this out? Have you thought about the height? Is it 8.5 feet? Is it 9 feet? What?
I think you can reach over a fence. You can't reach over a wall.
Okay. You might be right. I haven't...
That's it. If you can reach over a fence...
Now, is that for a child or for a grown man?
I don't know.
So if a kid can reach over the fence, it's a fence. But if a kid can't reach over the 5-foot fence, that's a wall.
So for Zeno, the world is filled with walls.
Wow, what an innocent drive-by. Poor guy was just walking along, and you shot him in the head.
Yeah, he sees those little metal things, you know, keep you away from the flowers. Oh, it's a wall.
I'll ask the listeners if you guys can help Chuck.
I just wanted to know.
I understand. It's a great question. I hadn't thought about it. I think it's probably a little deep for us right now, and you didn't take anybody's explanation as gospel. I like your answer. If you can put your hand over it.
Let me do a CFT.
Yeah, but I got to do a read.
I want to do a CFT now.
Okay, I'll do that in a minute. But can I tell you Georgia Tech football's back?
A hell of 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 a engineer.
Join the Yellow Jackets for their first Saturday on the flats this Saturday at 12:30 at the Brock Indoor Practice Facility.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Matt. What'd you say?
I said you can enjoy the first Saturday on the flats, Joe, at 12:30 inside the Brock Indoor Practice Facility. Meet the Georgia Tech football team. Get free swag. And enjoy family-friendly fun. Admission is free for all fans.
Off his back foot, caught, touchdown!
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today. Brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Because money matters.
Good to beat it, King.
DuffyRealtyATL.com. There you go. You've got the site to go to. If you've got some personal real estate business, you want to get it finished, you want somebody else to own the house, or you want to find your forever home, and you want to have the most money in your pocket at the end of the transaction, that's Rhonda Duffy, DuffyRealtyATL.com. I said the intrigue of an untested quarterback has distracted me from a very real option. I'm talking about Jimbo Fisher and the option of Haynes King. He's untested. I think he's played 77 snaps and then he got hurt. He is an extremely athletic, just flat out fast QB, and he can throw the ball as well. He's not just an athlete running around back there taking snaps, but he didn't play. And he is still at least more of a developmental player from the passing standpoint than, for instance, Max Johnson. And the intrigue of Haynes King, I've been ignoring Max Johnson the first week and a half of their practice. They got a scrimmage on Saturday, too, I believe. But Max Johnson is supposed to be a very real choice. And so far, it seems Jimbo's like same boat as me going, oh, my gosh, wow, look at Haynes King. Now, Max Johnson, on his end of this, has not looked very good the first couple of weeks of since they hit the practice field again last, whatever it was, I think Sunday or Monday. Johnson has not looked good. He has worked mostly with the twos, but it's his charge to elevate, and he hasn't. Now, I'm saying that so far, August 11th, but Max Johnson has played enough football in the SEC that he's got to be a real option this year, and so far, really is Haynes King. He's the story out there. So I told you, Brady Cook's going to start at Missouri. We have Haynes King in the lead at College Station. The other, because I told you there were five yesterday that we're trying to check off to make sure we get starting quarterbacks named. So Brady Cook, maybe it'll be Haynes King. I can tell you Miles Brennan, not having a good camp to start. Can't tell you who would be likely to take those snaps. Maybe Jaden Daniels. But Miles Brennan, to this point, the way it was put to me, it would be a miracle if he won the job at this point. And I'm like, how bad must you have been the first week? So he's struggling. Conversely, at Auburn, Robbie Ashford is looking pretty good. The Oregon player who was not only in the Under Armour All-American football game, Under Armour All-American baseball game. Incredible athlete. Hadn't played quarterback since he was a senior in high school 3 years ago, but he was actually running with the one. So there's an interesting option for Auburn. And then the last school that we had named, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin looks around and is like, I got nothing for you. I have no idea who the quarterback's going to be. They do have a scrimmage on Saturday, and so I would expect when we come in here Monday, we'll have more of an idea about that.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Alrighty then, coming up next, this fantasy is about to become a reality.
Fantasy Chuck. Chuck with no shirt on.
It's a different fantasy, but it is about to come a reality for Falcons fans who are thinking about their plan for the fall. We'll talk about it next.
Don't that feel real funky, y'all? Woo!
Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff your choice, and we appreciate you making it a choice each and every day. We're on afternoons 2 to 6, but you should know that because you're listening between 2 and 6. You can also hear us podcasted later on in the night. We're on that 680 The Fan mobile app. A lot of ways to enjoy the program, even when you miss some of the show. We're with you till 6 tonight, then we'll turn it over to the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag with Carlos Medina, who made a big TV appearance the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this. He was on Cork TV wearing a nice blazer. Looked very grown up. Most will be hosting his own show tonight, the Audio Fun Bag, presented by the Front Row.
What is he talking about?
What was the case? Horton BJ, I don't know. I saw him post a pic.
It was a UFC fighter killed somebody.
Cain Velasquez. Right. Charged with murder, okay. I guess, yeah.
Attempted.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, attempted, yeah.
There you go.
Allegedly.
The 4 o'clock hour of our show brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at SPFS.com. Fantasy football drafts are going to be commencing over the next couple of weeks. And if you're looking at the Falcon roster, I'm not breaking news by telling you there's probably not a lot of fantasy choices there, except for a certain freak 66240 who wears the number 8 jersey. With so many unknowns for the Falcons, there is one known at this point, and that is that Kyle Pitts will probably blow up in a major way in year two. And Chuck, you'll remember this. After they took Kyle, after we got over the shock and awe of taking a tight end, unicorn, whatever he is in the top five, I didn't want to be the downer or the poo-pooer because that's not my style. But I said, I'm hearing stuff about Kyle that people are expecting in year one that doesn't jive with usually how this stuff goes. Now, there are exceptions to all rules. Guys like Jordan Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, it's happened. But I said, I would lower your expectations on Kyle a little bit. He doesn't have a run game. Offensive line's not going to protect the quarterback. He's going to have his ups and downs as a rookie. And I think the numbers I gave were kind of in the ballpark of what he ended up with a good year, just nothing like, oh, my God, eye-popping. But I also said, year two will be the time when he pops. He'll have a much better understanding of what he's doing. And based on everything I'm reading and hearing out of Flowery Branch from both local and national folks who have been there to cover practice, the one thing they keep talking about is this precise route running that now he understands what he's doing, right? Combine that with a 6'6", 240-pound freak show frame that when you run great routes, and that was always what we heard about Julio. Julio would run routes that would break ankles constantly. When you combined that with Julio's size and breakaway ability, it would always have the DB backtracking because they didn't want to get beat deep. So I would tell you this. if you're looking for a couple of comps on Pitts, and these aren't 100% fair because I'm going to give you tight ends, and we both know this. They're going to line Kyle up wide in everywhere. The slot, yep. on the end of the line of scrimmage. Hell, they'll put him at H-back. They're going to line him up everywhere. But if you want to know, like George Kittle, for example, in year two of his career, he popped 88 catches, 1,377 yards, 5 touchdowns. Go back a few years before that, Rob Gronkowski. Gronk popped in a major way, 90 catches, 1,327 yards, 17 touchdowns. And then I'll give you one more, Antonio Gates. Second year, 89 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. So if I'm just doing this like we're looking at prices on the street of houses and I'm doing comps, I will give you two caveats before I give you the numbers, Charles. One, if he's healthy. Because the only thing I think that can stop Kyle this year is going to be injuries. I don't think there's a player on the other side of a line of scrimmage that's going to be able to play one-on-one with Kyle Pitts. Man. I don't know what you do because of that size, catch radius, speed, and now he understands what the hell he's doing.
Very bendy, too. He's athletic. He can get willowy.
What's a good word?
He's just something, man.
Okay, so if he's healthy, that's one caveat. Here's the other one. If the Falcon quarterback play is just decent, he will go for, and this is the floor. You ready? 85 to 95 catches, 1,200 to 1,300 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns. That's the floor.
What if Mariota does stay healthy for the most part and starts like 14 games and is just Mariota? That's not average.
Is that better than average?
That's below average.
See, I would argue the other way. Marcus, to me, has always been an average quarterback.
You think he can be 12 to 15 to 16 to 17 in this league? 12's high. But
I think 12's high. I think he could be 17 to 19, 15 if things are great.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay. All right.
And maybe I'm being too bold, but he's 28. He's super healthy, and he's – you know I'm a broken record on this. I believe in the place where the quarterback goes is more important than the quarterback skill set. Unless you're just dumb or don't work hard, if you're Josh Rosen, you never had a shot. If you're Marcus Mariota, you had a shot. It didn't last long because of injuries and – for whatever reason, Arthur Smith and who was the core? Why am I going blank on the
phone? Daniel?
The head coach of the Titans.
Vrabel.
Vrabel. They looked at Tannehill and said, we just think this might fit us better because of what we have in the backfield. So Mariota is getting something that very few guys get, and that's like a legitimate second chance to be the guy on a team that doesn't have huge expectations. If Mariota's 15, I like your number. Let's say he's 15 in the league, 16. I think you're talking about 1,300 to 1,400 yards. I think you're talking about 12 to 14 touchdowns. I just think he's going to be an unstoppable force. You know what you might say? Well, we'll double him. Yeah, double my 6'6", 240-pound guy who will outjump you.
Not easy. In fact, this is the one thing I mentioned over and over for years is doubling a tight end screws up everything.
It does. Who are you doubling him with?
I'll skip it.
It's a fair. What are you using, a linebacker and a safety?
You can double wide receivers many times, different ways as you want to. There's no good way to do it.
But are you going to put a corner on Kyle Pitts?
No.
You know what I mean?
You wind up in a personnel quandary.
So now you know that he is he gets it. Year two, it's like a full. Just looking at him, he was sitting down with the NFL Network with Steve Weiss and Scott Pioli yesterday. Human beings don't look like him. Wait, have you seen Kyle? He's wearing one of these tight fit athletic shirts.
It looks like a tall decathlete, like a really tall, but he's not this bulky, huge dude.
Because he's 6'6".
He's this athlete.
You know what he reminded me of? It looks like when you put the Superman suit on Christopher Reeves. That's what he looks like in that. I'm like, how do you look like that? Yeah. And he runs the way he does. So
fantasy. I saw Steve Weiss and everybody out there.
The NFL Network did their deal out there. Fantasy football fans, I don't know how long you want to wait. I don't know what league you're in. If it's PPR, I don't know how you do it. But Kyle Pitts would just be, he'd be very quick to come off my board because you can draft him as a tight end. Which is sort of cheating the system.
Oh, no, you always had to do that. I always looked in August for when, in the 11th inning, you had to move somebody to second base for, three outs. He qualifies at second now.
That's it.
I'm moving Greg Vaughn to second.
I don't have to use a wide receiver pick on Kyle Pitts.
You get all the other GMs. Wait a minute. He dropped Mark Grzelcyk and put Greg Vaughn at second. That's cheating.
Do you think if every fantasy draft owner is like, I'm going to put Kyle's my tight end, Kyle's agent's going, no, he's not. It's a wide receiver. All right, coming up in 5 minutes. If the Braves want to go on a spending spree, this is the perfect time to do it. I'll tell you why coming up. But first, you know you've upset Brian Hoyt.
I hope he takes it in the positive way this was meant.
Because Jalen Carter was given his props by the four-letter network. Brazzers.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
No, but you're telling me there's one problem associated with it.
Yeah, well, there's a problem for anybody on UGA schedule or in their path this season. Yes, Jalen Carter, properly respected by ESPN. They had an article, ESPN.com, Matt Miller, if you know who he is.
We've had him on the show.
And it was the best 2023 draft prospects on each of the 65 Power 5 college football teams. It's a pretty interesting read for me, at least I enjoyed it. And I got down to the SEC and to Georgia and defensive. Now, again, this is the best draft prospect for next year, not a freshman who can project or whatever. Jalen Carter, which I looked at Georgia and I was like, yep, that's who I expected to see. And it's Jalen Carter. And they talk about how he can emerge and last year splitting reps and all of this stuff. Definite top five prospect headed into the season. The issue that anybody in their path, whether it's on their schedule, like Oregon's in their path, but I'm talking like Bama's in their path, big picture. Jalen Carter may very well be the top 2023 NFL draft prospect on the roster. I can name five others every bit as NFL as Jalen potentially, and I mean five others. Now, if you don't think that what I'm about to tell you is reasonable, because everybody knows Jalen's a top five, and how could he have five more? I went back and looked, Matt. Right after the 2021 draft, the early look ahead, and I looked at like five of these, College Football News, CBS, Sports Illustrated, early look ahead to the 2022 NFL draft, and I looked specifically for Georgia prospects. Trayvon Walker was the sixth-rated defensive tackle after last year's draft. He was the first overall pick this year. So you have, in the right situation, the right kid can elevate enough even above Jordan Davis, which a year ago we all write about Jordan Davis. Wasn't anybody talking about Trayvon Walker. I think there are five. Keely Ringo. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Avery Gilbert. What were you just saying about Kyle Pitts? Write him down as a tight end?
Right.
I don't care what you put Gilbert as. He's a monster. He already has performed, even when he, and I'm being respectful about this, even when he wasn't getting the attention he was supposed to. I'm talking off field. He wasn't right out in Baton Rouge. Up until about, I don't know, middle of October, end of October, that kid was producing on an SEC field. So that's not nothing. Broderick Jones has a chance to elevate to be the first left tackle taken. If you're the first left tackle taken, guess what? You're a top 10 pick. Nolan Smith. All right, here is the name that a lot of people already are on, Nolan Smith, and he's got a chance to fly off the edge, and he could have the huge year this year. Now, we said all that about Nakobe, and he had the huge year, and he's third-round pick. So I'm just talking about how they project. We'll see how the last name. If you look at Trayvon Walker last year, who had no real, accumulation of statistics, and then he became the first overall pick. If you look at the number of snaps Robert Beal played last year versus the raw production that he put up with a lot more time on the field, Robert Beal could push himself. So I don't know if he's a second-round pick. I don't know if he's a first-round pick. I know that he has the exact same chance Trayvon Walker has, as do every single kid on this list. Jalen Carter, I have no doubt about what 22 is going to be for him. The scary part for everybody else who has to compete with UGA, maybe, there's a legitimate conversation, I think, about five other kids.
That wasn't so bad, Hoyt.
No, it sucks for Josh Heupel Napier and Beamer. And
why were you so bothered by this?
I feel like he's not showing Jalen enough respect. That's all.
What would you like to hear?
That he's just a freak, just a disgusting freak on the football field, and he'll go number one, and there's nobody in the country better than him. The end.
Will you say that for him?
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
Feels like we're at a stalemate. So by your estimation, he's not giving JC enough credit.
Last year, a tackle. DeMarvin Leal, Winfrey from Oklahoma, Ty Davis at Clemson is still there. Fedarian Mathis, Zach Pickens still at South Carolina, Trayvon Walker sixth, and he's first overall as a defensive end after still not even playing full time. So you get the right looking athlete, and then he puts together increased production with some increased time. I'm telling you, man, what we watched last year in Vegas, it doesn't have to be uber unusual.
I would like the fact of the matter is Jalen was my guy first. So
Jalen Carter?
Yeah. I called him first.
Sure.
Last year.
All you.
I just want that put in the air.
All you.
Yeah, it was me. There was a show we did, and I distinctly remember, and Hoyt scoffed at me.
And
when I said 88's best player on that defense, and he looked at me, oh, Jordan Davis this, and linebackers.
Were you
that.
Really a Jalen Carter thing?
Hoyt, you remember this. I did this huge Jalen Carter's like 88's best player on that defense.
Yeah, someone may have given him that.
Somebody might have given me. What the hell? Nobody gives me anything.
This is like the Eric Zier gave him the Kenny McIntosh thing.
Eric Zier didn't give me anything. Just because I have contemporaries in the business that we talk about stuff.
All right, no.
I'm sorry, I have relationships with people. Well, you guys get very jelly. When Matt talks to somebody else, it's like somebody talking, you can't talk to anybody. No, I talk to people. Right? Insight. Bring it to the radio. Jalen's my guy. And you can't have him. Jim Bowden's also my guy. Former Major League Baseball general manager. Now working for The Athletic. He put together a list, Charles, and I know you like lists.
Yep. You're
a big fan of a list. It's his early look at the top 30 Major League Baseball free agents this offseason. And I thought, yeah, it's too early to peek at this. As Braves fans, we got unfinished business, right? We're trying to repeat. Another 2 months, postseason, got a lot of stuff ahead of us. But there's also this part of me that says they're going to have a ton of money to spend and a lot of money coming off the books. Braves are going to need a left fielder, potentially a starting pitcher if Mort retires, a decision to make it short. But as we've chronicled many times on this program, Mort's $20 million comes off, Kenley 16 is off, Dansby and Duvall $10 million each. And I told you I think the payroll is going to shoot past $200 million. They'll be closing in on top five payroll next season. So they got money to spend. Here is the number one free agent on Jim Bowden's list, Jacob deGrom. At 34 years old, he said he's expected to opt out of his $30.5 million player option for 23. And I've been very clear on how obvious the risk is.
Three and 110.
It's probably not far off. If you're the Braves, do you take the 20 of Mort, essentially most of Jansen, and say, all right, we'll roll the dice knowing the age is a factor and the injury history is there, but we want to go get a killer, a hammer, and we're going to risk it so we can put him up top. Max becomes my two. Kyle becomes my three. Ian and Strider round out the rest of it, and I'm going to go get it.
Soroka.
I can't depend on it.
I know.
I'd love to for his
sake. I can't poo-poo that at all. You may think that you're aiming for 165 innings.
Would you think?
Which is not nearly enough, but.
DeGrom for three. I like your thought there. Three and 100, and like, that's not crazy. He said it to be a Braves fan, grew up in Florida, the whole thing, like. It's a risk. It's a huge risk. But
is he 34 now?
He's 34. The payoff would be enormous. Yep. I mean, the payoff would be you take him from the Mets, which is a middle finger, and then you bring him here to put him on this staff of a team that's championship ready. Just think about it. Number two on the list is Aaron Judge, 30 years old. Number three is Justin Verlander, who just turned 40, and he's having a renaissance after his Tommy John.
15-3, isn't he?
With a 1.7 ERA, is expected to opt out of his $25 million player option.
Wait a minute. After he took $25 million, didn't pitch last year.
Remember, too, the Braves, they were interested.
Verlander.
Why would you boo him? There was talk of the Braves being the choice if it wasn't him going back to the Astros. Mm-hmm. So that one could be in play. Then number four is Carlos Correa, who's 28. I brought up Correa a ton with the Braves. Trey Turner is number five, who also could be in play for the Braves. Carlos Rodon is number six with the Giants. I missed it. Did he get traded?
No.
I thought he was going to get traded.
No.
He's 30. Xander Bogaerts is 7.
Wait a minute. You said Rodon?
Yeah.
He's the opt-out. Sorry.
And then Dansby is on the list at number 8.
He's having a great season.
He's having a fantastic year. Boy, the defense, a couple of hiccups lately, but it's okay. Wilson Contreras is 9. The Cubs catcher is 30 years old. And number 10, talk about timing being everything. Edwin Diaz at 29 is about to hit free agency. He's got that billionaire owner there thinking, how much should I pay him?
They brought him over from Seattle, and he couldn't find anything, man.
Not the first year. So then you go through, and this might be the deepest. This might not be the best, but this might be the deepest free agent class of, like, answers. Teams will find 11 through 15 on this list. Kershaw, Josh Bell, Jose Abreu, Chris Bassett, Adam Wainwright. Now, what do these guys have in common?
I like Bassett a lot.
There's a lot of age.
Yeah, he is.
So if I gave
but
you...
But he's way more, the most affordable of that bunch by far.
Probably. Kershaw's 35. I don't think he's going anywhere. Josh Bell is 30. Jose Abreu's 36. Adam Wainwright's 41, and Chris Bassett's 34.
I like Bell. He's a switch hitter with legit power.
Yeah, agreed. Then 16 through 20, Anthony Rizzo is 33. Luis Severino of the Yankees, who's 29. Brandon Nimmo of the Mets, who's 30. Trey Mancini now of the Astros, who's 31. And then number 20 is Charlie Morton, who's 39 years old. Then you get down to, like, 21 through 30, who are, the maybes. And there's some warts on these guys, either from injury or the career started to kind of go down the hill instead of heading up.
Okay, I don't want to interrupt that thought, but the last guy you said was Charlie.
Yeah.
This, to me, and I don't know if I'm way off or right on, it screams 1 year, $6 million.
I think he's retiring.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay. Maybe not even here, I'm saying, but he's 1 year, $6
million. I think they had to talk Charlie in, and $20 million made it easy to talk him into it. I don't think he was going to come back if it was going to be something less. 21 is Sonny Gray, who's 33.
He can still be good.
Nate Eovaldi at 22 is also 33.
Eovaldi. He changed it.
I'm going to go with Eovaldi then. I'm sorry. You can't change it on me. Kenley Jansen is number 23 on the free agent list. He's 35 years old. Then you go Chapman, who's 35. Kimbrel, who's 34. Syndergaard, who's 30. J.D. Martinez, who's 35. Mitch Haniger, who's 32. Sean Manaea's 31. And Jock Peterson's 30. This list would bank 15 years ago in a way that GMs would just hand out 4-year deals for $100 million, and they're not doing that. So I like your thought on the DeGrom deal. A lot of these guys are going to get 1, 2, and maybe a third year. What we're seeing now is the opt-out or the club option being a much bigger deal. But if you're the Braves, man, you got tons of money to go spend on stuff. Like, you could be players in whatever you want to be, and they're at a point now where, remember, it used to be, well, they can't pay that. Now it's going to be whether they want to pay that. That's where they are heading to this offseason. What a fun time. The Jacob DeGrom thing would be fascinating. That would be something. I'm trying to picture a weekend series where DeGrom, Fried, and like Kyle Wright were going on the same 3-day weekend. Oh, my goodness.
It's been a minute since we had some. In fact, I'm trying to think of somebody who pitched like that. It would have been Smoltz in his heyday.
The closest. But nobody pitches like him.
No.
I'm not saying Smoltz, a Hall of Famer, got sick at.
But it wasn't that.
See, I bet Smoltz, he always said he could throw harder if he needed to. Like, DeGrom just does it. Now his arm breaks.
Which is what they call easy gas.
Right. With DeGrom, it's 102, which is just filthy nasty. And then a slider at 94. So just consider that. Again, those are Bowden's list of the top 30 free agents heading into the offseason. We'll continue our countdown to the college football season. We call it 99 problems. We're down to day 23. So Chuck has item 23 around the corner. Tease us.
Ask one relevant question about an SEC head coach, and you know who his starting quarterback will be.
We'll find out who it is next. Oh, what a day. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Thursday right here on the radio with us at 93.7 FM. Yeah, kind of. AM, sometimes. App it all the time, though. Tap that app, take it with you anytime, anywhere, like on Friday nights, because Chuck, guess what? Friday Night Football is back. And all season long, The Fan is bringing you the best high school football action from around the state. You can join 680 The Fan and our team each Friday night throughout the season for the Friday Night Football Game of the Week. Catch the featured games on 680 The Fan and the 680 The Fan mobile app. The season's first matchup is Friday, August 19th, 7:30. That would be North Cobb Warriors heading to Atlanta to take on the Westlake Lions. The Friday Night Football Game of the Week is presented by Truist and powered by Georgia Power, Marco's Pizza. the University of West Georgia and Fox 5 Atlanta. Then stay tuned after the live coverage of the game for the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show with Steve West. And
404.
Doing a read.
231.
I'll wait. Oh, go ahead.
1680.
With Steve West and the 680 The Fan crew of high school football analysts for scores and updates from around the state of Georgia.
If you're having sports problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. College ball ain't one.
Yeah.
Chuck. Hey.
23.
Really, we got football 2 weeks from Saturday,
folks.
Oh, my
goodness.
I'm just saying it's out there for you, okay?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Ask a relevant question about one SEC head coach who said, you know who his quarterback will be. I said, we're down to four, and there is one who says, yeah, I got no idea, don't know what to tell you. That was Lane Kiffin. It's Luke Altmyer. I keep trying to put an extra vowel in there. It's Altmyer. And Jackson Dart, the transfer, the big transfer from USC, who Lane was asked about. He's like, are you worried about your portal reputation if you don't start Jackson Dart? He's like, no, I'm worried about the season if I start the wrong quarterback. He's like, you don't understand. I don't know yet. So, if you want some insight, and I'll help Lane get there, too. Maybe he's listening on the app. Ask one relevant question about Lane Kiffin. I think you'll get a little insight, a little advance notice. Matt, I'll ask you.
All right.
Just close your eyes, think Lane Kiffin, what we've seen, what we know about him, how he likes to coach. Between these two quarterbacks, very distinct styles, approaches, et cetera, do you think Lane is more, just in general, is he more about the quarterback floor or the quarterback ceiling?
First of all, my eyes are closed. I'm going to say the quarterback ceiling.
Absolutely true.
Yes, I got it.
And almost like every other coach, he realizes, I've got to have a guy who can make some plays.
Can I open my eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So that means Jackson Dart will be his starter. And you think about what it is as a coach and what you're going to try to do. Well, I said these are two different guys. Jackson Dart is, I bet he's open. I bet he's, oh, he wasn't as open as I thought. Sorry. Luke Altmyer, do you know who he is? He's the quarterback that on tape. The quarterback coach or the OC or whoever's yelling is there. It's there. Throw it. And you're wondering why he did. Like, it was there. Why didn't you? That's Luke Altmyer. Oh, what if the safety cut? It was the window. Sorry, coach. I'll get it next time. It is much easier to take a quarterback who likes to take the chances and can be aggressive and heave it downfield and make the plays and say, all right, here are some of the traits that will help you get better at that. Anticipation, reading all the stuff we know about. It is a more attainable thing to take a guy with that mindset, that approach, that, hey, I'm going to get it there, and then sort of, I'll say, reel it in, than a guy like Altmyer and say, I want to inject that sort of mentality into a guy who mostly just plays safe. So that's going to be Lane Kiffin. I think it's going to be Jackson Dart. I mean, think about it. Like, on fourth down, what is Lane Kiffin? Are you trying to do more to win? And so you're a guy who goes for it, or are you trying to do more to avoid losing? So you punt. What is Lane Kiffin? Lane goes for it on fourth and one. That's Dart. That's not Luke.
The king of football has got it going on. It's 23 days, and we've waited for so long. Chuck, can't you see? It's only 23. I know it's felt so long, but there's 23 days till kickoff. The king of football.
23 days. That's all that stands between us and the return of college football. Let me read you a quick quote.
From?
This is Dan Weiderer, I believe. He's a Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He said, after Bears coach Matt Eberflus strongly encouraged reporters to ask Roquan Smith about his decision not to practice, the Bears as a team have decided to not make Roquan available to reporters because he didn't practice. There you go. Professional sports. Makes perfect sense. You go ask Roquan why he ain't practicing.
Yeah, he's a coach.
They didn't make him available because they said he didn't practice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when he's available, you ask him. Just so, that's so dumb. I mean, like, let him talk. Seriously. If he wants to, I got news for the Bears. You know there's a 100 million other outlets, whether he wants to go on his own.
Oh, yeah, he'll talk.
Instagram.
He's been talking.
Right. He wants to go on his own Instagram. He wants to go on a buddy's podcast. He wants to go on ESPN. He wants to go. He'll get it out. But the Bears are, we're not going to make him available. Okay. All right. Seems to make perfect sense. Coming up next, the newest kid on the Braves block.
Oh.
Just made himself some baseball history. Plus, This is the kind of bet that only Chuck Oliver would endorse.
Bet the Rockets.
Should better. Good. No, this is better.
Under the 4-3 in Indianapolis at the Combine.
This is even better than that. This is a can't miss that Chuck would love. We'll share it with you next.
Tech can't block Auburn.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.